مصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وأعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون. سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Today, the task of finding a reliable and a suitable partner become increasingly a Herculean and burdensome task. The task of tying the knot and establishing a family and raising children has become for some people only as a dream, far a dream, especially for females, that might never take place. But we have hope, don't worry. Don't think that you would remain without a partner, and I will come to this part. This exacerbation of this social phenomena, having difficulty in finding someone reliable in your life, this is not only here in the West, it's a worldwide phenomena. And it is not because of the lack of money or lack of an apartment or house or a job or a source of income. It is rather because of a lack of refined, pure, genuine, and reasonable human personalities. Reasonable human qualities. This is why we are suffering today. And thus, for those of you who are intending to get married, and you will inshallah soon, we pray for you. And your parents should encourage you, and the society should encourage you. Your friends, your educational, religious institutions, the speakers, the scholars, the mentors should encourage you to get on board and establish a family. Those of you who live here and they can make a good income, they go to the best schools. For them, establishing a family is not a nightmare. But you have to realize, brothers and sisters, before you get married, ask yourself, ask why I am getting married, why I need another person in my life. Look around you, see what's happening around you. See the domestic problems today. See the social upheaval within our families today. And then ask yourself, do I want to add one more number to the miserable people in the community? Or I want to be a different person. My marriage, my family, my lifestyle should be different from others. Should be according to the Quranic teachings and the traditions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask yourself, what is the purpose of marriage? Why I am getting married? For some people, marriage represents only the fulfillment of the bedroom fantasy that has been sought for a long time. For them, marriage has only one meaning and one taste, and that is physical gratification. You know what I mean. This is the meaning of marriage for them. For others, why they get married is to show their partner, their wife and their husband to the public. It is for public display. It is to show his wife to his friends and his family members and tell them, look at the nice catch. Look at what I did. I'm so proud of this nice catch. And this is what the celebrities, they do. This is what I call it, a Britney Spears marriage. Almost every 2 years or sometimes every year, you know, there is a new partner. This is not a husband. This is not even a friend. This is not a marriage. This is not a decent marriage. They don't do marriage for inner relations, spiritual relations. It's for public relation. Just to show their partners to others. How attractive, how fascinating, how incredible she is and he is. This is the second reason. For some people, marriage, she gets married for one reason, to remove the financial burden from her shoulder. She has too much loans, bills to pay. She's looking for someone to pay her bills, to pay her credit card debts. It's for a financial reason. She does not want to work. She wants someone to go and work and bring food home. That's another reason why some people get married, for economic reason. Only few people understand the real purpose and the real message for marriage that has been intended in the Holy Quran. Only few people, their intention is to sincerely and solemnly find a soulmate who can find happiness with him or her for every minute of their life. Only few people who are not only thinking of having a decent partner and a friend, but also a caring, responsible parent for their future children. Parent that can take care of the family A father or a mother who can nurture and foster the kids and make them even better than himself and the mother. This is the real marriage. This is the real reason of marriage. This is the Islamic marriage. And hence, brothers and sisters, nowadays, an increasing number of partners, they don't find their husbands and their wives. They don't find them decent and reliable enough to undertake the responsibility of the marital life. Why is that? Most of them, if you ask them, they tell you, I am disappointed with my marriage. I have been disappointed for the last 10 years, for the last 20 years, for the last 30 years. From day one, I was disappointed with my marriage, with my wife, with my husband. I didn't say anything, but today I'm speaking in public about it. Why is that? The reason, because they did not make the right choice. The reason, because at the time of marriage, when they were engaged or about to be engaged and to find a partner, they were emotionally intoxicated. Emotionally intoxicated. And romantically sedated. And this is why, unfortunately, they made the wrong choice. Why they made the wrong choice? Because the circumstances at that time did not help them. The way they were introduced to each other was not healthy. Was wrong, utterly wrong. The way they saw each other the first time. Where did they meet each other? They met each other in the street. My brothers and sisters, the marriage that begins in the street ends also on the street. And the marriage that begins in the nightclub also ends in the nightclub. And the marriage that begins by text messaging will end soon again through text messaging. She will send him a message, bye, I am dumping you. Text messaging is one of God's punishments for the humanity. This is what I believe. Yes, text messaging is God's punishment for the humanity. Be careful. Be aware. It's not fun. This is not fun. It's not fun. It's not responsible to carry a cell phone with you and 24 hours a day text message the one that you think he loves you. It is not through text messaging. I have seen couples, their marriage lasted for 60 years. Even after the death of one of them, they are still loyal and love each other. They didn't call each other on the cell phone. They had no mobile phones at that time. They did not chat on the internet. They did not email. They did not send text message to each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are sincere, you don't need to use these communications. If you are sincere, Allah says about marriage, He will engender. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً He engenders. He charges your heart. If your heart is sincere, you don't have to call. Allah engenders love and mercy among your hearts. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً So be careful. The marriage that begins and depends on financial considerations, on money. She marries him because he's rich and he marries her only because she's beautiful. No other things involved. This marriage again will end because of money. And that beauty that you used to cherish and feel proud about, the same beauty of her is going to be a curse against you. And you're going to divorce her and separate with her because of her beauty, physical beauty. من تزوج امرأة لمالها وجمالها لم يرى الحسنى. I mentioned for the last 2 years, that if you intend to marry, before you think of satisfying yourself, or satisfying your husband or wife, or satisfying your parents, think about the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at your marriage, examine it, look at it carefully, see. If this is an Islamic one, Allah will be happy. On the night of your wedding, Allah will share the happiness with you, or Allah is going to turn His face away from you. What is the motives of your marriage? Why did you marry him or her? If you can make him happy, then this is a successful and a blessed marriage. If not, no wealth, no family members, no relationships can help you and can save you. Therefore, those who have problems today in their marital life, they have to look back, not at today and yesterday. They have to look back 10 years ago. At the time of their romance, what happened? Why they made the wrong choice? And today those people are a lesson for you. If you have relatives, if you have friends in the community who are suffering, this should be a lesson for us. Not me, I am married, for you who are intending to marry. A lesson. Learn from other people's mistakes. As-sa'id man itta'adha bighayrih. Look at others and decide for yourself how to avoid this misery in my life. What should I do? Where should I begin? Before you say yes in a proposal, if you are a man making a proposal, or if you are a lady waiting for a proposal, before you say yes and tie the knot, be careful, be very careful. Don't be overcome by emotions and sentiments. Before you say yes, study your partner, your future partner. Study him or her carefully. Study their character. Study their personality. Study their faith. Study their commitment. Is it worth it to stay with such a person for 40 years of my life, 50 years of my life? Think about it for a second. Think about it before you say yes. Otherwise, if you go ahead because you are enjoying the romance and he's the best guy on earth, after a while you will wake up, and we all wake up. And once you wake up and you don't find any hope, any future in this relationship, and you go to the scholar and the imam and tell him, I want to dump this man and divorce him. And should divorce take place, then remember there is a long suffering ahead of you. A long emotional, psychological trauma. You might not recover. Yes, it's true that divorce takes 5 minutes to finalize any divorce. Takes 5 minutes, 3 minutes. But the effect of divorce is going to last for 20 years in your life. So your honor, your life, your mental health is at a stake. Be careful at the time of marriage, my brothers and sisters. Islam encourages you to get married, to be independent, to be a father and mother, to be responsible. But at the same time, Islam says, be careful. Be careful. Tomorrow and after tomorrow, I'm going to continue about marriage. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you about 5 important qualities, specifications to be found in the future partner. You have to find these before you say yes. You have to find them, secure them, understand them. Make sure that he or she have these 5 qualities. And then after tomorrow, inshallah, I'm going to speak about the 5 qualities, or maybe 9 qualities, that has to exist. These are the basic ingredients of a stable marriage, whether this is an Islamic marriage or non-Islamic marriage. Basic ingredients of a stable marriage. But bear with me for these few nights. I am just a guest. And I am echoing the frustration of your parents, some of your parents here. And here we are the guest of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the man who led the best family, the man who raised the best children, the man who cherished the best wife and the best children. So we have to learn. We can't go home empty-handed. Imam Hussein does not teach me the shahada and martyrdom. Imam Hussein does not only teach me the sacrifice. Imam Hussein does not only teach me how to confront the tyrant and the oppressor. Imam Hussein also teaches me how to be a good husband, how to be a caring and loving father. And this is we are here. This is why we are here tonight. Therefore, again, before you say yes, think about it. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, it's so funny that when I was a kid and we used to go to marriages where my father used to solemnize marriage, and of course he has to seek the bride's approval, consent, to be her representative, to have her a proxy to solemnize the marriage with the groom. So he will ask her, قولي نعم إن رضيتي أن أكون وكيلا عنك قولي نعم أنت وكيلي. Say yes, you are my representative. It used to take the bride sometimes half an hour to say yes. Half an hour. And the scholar has to repeat the sentence 5 times, 10 times, 12 times, 14 times. You know, sometimes not only 14 times according to the number of the ma'sumin, sometimes 40 times according to the anbiya of Bani Israel. Yet, at the end she will say yes, because this is not something easy. You are not purchasing a car or a house. In this business, the sale is final. It's non-refundable, non-transferable, non-changeable. So she had to think about it. Nowadays, at this time and age, when I go to solemnize the marriage, even before asking her, in رَضِيْتِ أَنْ أَكُولَ وَكِيلًا عَنْكِ, she says, yes! Powerful yes. She can't wait for me to finish my question, you know? Yes, she's in a hurry. Yes! Good luck. I wish you know the understanding of marriage when you say yes. Okay. Brothers and sisters, in Islam and in the Holy Quran, the meaning of marriage was intended for two things. And both are mentioned in the Holy Quran. Number one, marriage was intended for procreation. Procreation. وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدَةً وَرَزَقَكُم مِّنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Procreation. That is the first reason why we get married. You have to understand this. If you are intending to get married, you have to know that maybe after 10 months sometimes, and sometimes even less than 10 months. With this speedy age, you can be a father within 5 months, you know. Yes, you can be father, and it happens. So, there is fatherhood and motherhood. There is responsibility. Procreation. Marriage subserves two main reasons. One, procreation. The continuation of the generation, a generation that serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned last night, our prime reason why we are on earth, to recognize Him and worship Him. And nothing else. If someone asks you outside why you are a Muslim, tell him this is the definition of Islam. I am on earth. I exist here to recognize Him and serve Him and worship Him. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am His slave. I have the honor, the privilege of being His slave and to serve Him here on earth. This is one reason why we get married. So even for those who says, some of you say to your future wives that I don't want to have kids. I'm only interested in you. I don't want to be a father. You're going to change your mind. Because it's a part and parcel of marital life. If you don't have children, you're going to suffer. If you are able to have children and you don't, you're going to suffer. You're going to lose. So this is one reason. The second reason for marriage is to fulfill the yearning of one part of the soul to the other part. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Listen. This is the reason for marriage. This is why we need a husband. I need a wife, of course. But the other side, they need a husband. This is why we need partners. Why do we need partners? You don't need a wife so she can cook for you. You come home and the food is on the table ready for you. You don't need a wife to prepare the bed for you, to see the bed clean and nice and tidy and just throw yourself, snore, and then leave in the morning. Treat the house as a bread and a breakfast. You don't need it. You don't need her for this. And you, sister, you don't need a man in your life to bring food or money home. You need him for something more important. Food, money, bed, others are secondary. But the primary purpose of marriage, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. See when Allah eloquently speaks about marriage, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا. Number one, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. The meaning of second here is healing, emotional healing, emotional and spiritual remedy, medicine. Marriage is medicine for both of you. And you cannot survive, you cannot flourish, you cannot function, you cannot reach your potential if you don't get married. You can't fulfill your mission on earth. You have to get married, whether you like it or you don't. You have to get married. Second remedy, emotional remedy. When you have a problem in your stomach, you go to the doctor and he prescribes a medicine for you. But, brothers and sisters, when you need some food, you go to the restaurant. When you are thirsty, you get some drink. But when you are depressed and lonely, where do you go? Do you go to the restaurant? You go to the pharmacy? You go to your spouse and you go to your partner. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Allah considers part of His great signs of Allah. Allah chooses in this surah, Surah Ar-Rum, certain signs, grand signs of Allah. One of them is marriage. أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. From among yourselves. أَزْوَاجًا, spouses. لِتَسْكُنُوا. When you are depressed, when you are sad, when you are tired, when you are hopeless, what is the remedy and the medicine? Is your husband and your wife. Thus, we have in Biharul Anwar, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, He created Eve after him. Adam, when he was created, for a few seconds he was alone. He looked right and left. He found himself alone. So he was so depressed. Adam was so depressed because of loneliness. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reached out to him and he created Eve, Hawa. Once Adam looked at Hawa, he was staggered. He said, Ilahi, who's this creature that you created now, right now? That the moment I looked at her and her face, I was infused with hope, with happiness, with peace and serenity. Allah says to him, Ya Adam, this is your partner, this is your friend, this is your intimate friend. You should live with this person. As the moment he looked at her face, he was infused with hope, with joy, with happiness. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, I said this story in America one day. A man came to me. He said, "But Maulana, whenever I look at my wife's face, I have to take 2 tablets of paracetamol." He said, "This is my wife. I looked at her too. She looked like Miss Halloween, you know." I said to him, "This face needs 6 tablets, not 4. Unfortunately, marriage has lost its merits and virtue and meaning today. But if we reflect on it and the message of marriage, we will enjoy it. We will enjoy it. If we live up to our responsibilities, if the foundation of marriage is based on respect, on mercy, having mercy with each other, not exploitation, not taking advantage of her because she doesn't have a father or a mother or family here in England, you take advantage of her. You don't take advantage of him because he made some money today, so you have to take the money and spoil it in the market. This is abuse, and this is suffering, and this is traumatizing each other. We have to respect each other. Brothers and sisters, you have to realize, for those of you who want to get married, you have 2 responsibilities, 2 gigantic and big responsibilities ahead of you. 2. 1, your spouse. It could be your wife or a husband. You are responsible before him or her. Responsible. قو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. قو أنفسكم, not only أنفسكم, وأهليكم. So you have to take care of him or her. You have to realize that this person who lives in your house, whether he's your husband or your wife, is not an animal, is not an insect. This is a human being. She has feelings. She has emotions. She not only needs your money is secondary. What she needs most, what she desires most is you, your akhlaq, your attitude. When the Prophet was asked, "Ya Rasulullah, wama haqqul mar'ati ala zawjiha?" Qal, "An yushbi'a jaw'ataha wa yaksu 'awrataha wa la yuqabbih laha wajha." See, 3 things: to feed her, to shelter her and clothe her, and thirdly, to be nice and humble, not to be arrogant, not to demonstrate my force and my power inside my house. If I am a man and I want to prove that I'm a man, it's outside, not inside the house. Not when I go into the kitchen and destroy things while the food is not ready. This is not the akhlaq, the attitude of a believer in God, of someone who knows that he's going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't take bad advantage of them. Don't abuse. Don't do this. المرأة ريحانة وليست قهرمانة. In Islam, if I want to speak voluminous today, tonight, about how the Quran and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt admonish us, advise us about taking care of our families, our kids. أفضلكم أحسنكم أخلاقا وأحسنكم أخلاقا أقربكم لأهله وأنا أقربكم لأهلي. قال الحبيب محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أقربكم مني منزلا يوم القيامة أفضلكم أخلاقا مع أهله. You seek to be with the Prophet? You want to see the Prophet, his face, his shining face on the Day of Judgment? It's not by facing Mecca and praying day and night. It's not through fasting Rajab, Sha'ban and Ramadan only. It's not by going to Hajj. It's not by feeding the poor. It's also by being nice to your family. Forgiving. Be a forgiving person. Be a humble person. Be like the man whose name is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Despite his engagements, Despite the important responsibility of defending Islam outside, almost every week Imam Ali was dispatched by the Prophet to defend Islam, to carry the sword and run after the infidels and the hypocrites. But yet he comes home. When he comes home, he takes care of Fatima and Hassan and Hussein. And sometimes he asks his loyal wife Fatima, that today I want to work here inside the house. I want to cook. I want to clean. This is manhood. Manhood is to stand next to your family. So, brothers and sisters, this is a responsibility. Before you go, you get on board, ask yourself, are you ready for this or not? And where do you start? What does now, after 40 minutes tonight, now what do you think? What does marriage represent for you? It should represent stability. It should represent the manifestation of your mercy and kindness first to your wife and to your children first. This is the place where you show Allah that you are a sincere person. To be nice and humble with your children. Not to be arrogant. Not to be hard-headed. If you are angry, don't go home. I know some people, they are angry and they head home. And who is the first victim? Not the real enemy outside. His wife, his poor wife. His poor son. His poor daughter. Don't go home. Head somewhere else. Cool down. And then go home. Go home when you are smiling. Why Fatima al-Zahra was the best wife? Why Ali ibn Abi Talib for many years after her death was weeping for her departure? Imam Ali says one sentence to Salman. Ya Salman, wallahi ma aghdabtuha wala akrahat wala akrahtuha wala aghdabatni wala akrahatni wala asat liya amran hatta qabidaha Allah ta'ala. This is Fatima, smiling face. And don't think Fatima was the daughter of the queen, living in a mansion, having many servants, having the best food. Fatima was working herself. Fatima, the day she went to her father and asked for a maid to help her, the Prophet answered her, Bunayya Fatima, ta'ajjali mararat ad-dunya lihalawati al-akhirah. My dear daughter Fatima, these days are numbered, only a few days. Have some patience and endurance. And then you're going to find the real relaxation there. You're going to find the real happiness there. Allah intended for us to live in this life to struggle, not to relax. Don't think this is the life of relaxation. Ya ayyuha al-insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. You are laboring laboriously. You are struggling until you stand before your Lord. Now let me conclude with something very important. Since I arrived into this city, I heard many sad stories about marriages coming to an end, about the rate of divorce going up. Why this is happening? What happened to the Muslim community? Where is the faith? Where is the belief in God? Why we are being intoxicated with the ills of the West? Allah wanted us, we the Muslims, to come to the West, to Europe, Canada and America, to bring our Islam to these countries, not to learn, not to be contaminated by the social ills of these societies and cultures. You are the messenger of Islam in this country. You have to save marriages in this country. If you know your English neighbor who does not like his wife, or she does not like her husband, and they are about to go to file for divorce in the court, you have to be the nice guy to go and mediate between them and bring them back. We should not learn the social ills here. What happened to us? Let me say this. Many people ask me today, are premarital relationships, are they healthy or risky? The answer is, what do you mean by premarital relationships? If you mean recognition, if you mean familiarity, if you mean that you are intending to get married and you want to know the wife very well, or if you are a female and someone proposes to you and you want to discover him and understanding him, then this is absolutely healthy. And this is what Allah is asking us to do. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking us to do. It's absolutely healthy. You have to establish strong affinity and understanding before you get married. You have to know your partner very well, his or her characters and personality and lifestyle. You should not be cheated after marriage. You should not discover things after marriage that leads to your divorce and the disintegration of your family. You should understand your partner. This is your right. This is your natural right. Natural right. If you are sincere, yes, you can see your future wife. You can see her hair without covering if you are sincere. You can go to her house, meet with her. So this is yes. But if you mean by saying premarital relations, if you mean intimacy, physical relationship, this is very risky and this is dangerous. Even for those of you who are still engaged and about to get married, you should not do this. And if you are doing it, stop. Why? Why? Because this would prevent you from understanding each other. Why does it prevent us from understanding each other? Why having an intimate physical relationship while you are engaged prevent you from understanding each other? Because at the time of engagement, my dear brothers and sisters, you love each other, you die for each other. It's the time for your sentiments, your romance, your emotions, they are skyrocketing, reaching the top. You live in a world of fantasy. During the engagement time, we are the happiest people on earth. We have no problems. And then we expect the partner to share our dreams, our fantasies, our freak romance. You don't want to bring any serious issue in the middle. Beside, you see your friend where? If you get engaged, where do you see your fiance? You see her not while she's working or studying, not while she's struggling, not while she's sick. You see her in the best mood. You see her in the best shape. You see her when she is energized and you are energized and you go to the best restaurant for chicken curry, for instance. And you see her when you are enjoying your time. And this is why you forget about the real life. And this life, brothers and sisters, is the world of realities, not dreams. This life is the life of struggling. You have to be serious. Wake up. And then, once you enjoy this life, you have high expectations. Because you did not see the ills and the faults and the errors and the weaknesses of each other. What you saw for the last 6 months and for the last 2 years of your engagements, nothing but happiness and a smile jumping up and down. Going to the best restaurants and probably to the best places. Not seeing bills, not seeing seriousness in this life, not even seeing sickness or any misfortune. You think this is the real life. You know, sometimes when you take your fiance with you, you try to act. Those who take both try to act. They are not normal people. They don't act as who they are. They act differently. He, if he's a man, he tries to prove to her he's the most generous. At the time of paying, he takes his wallet and all the money out. And he's the strongest. He's the best. But this is not the reality. He wants to show her that he's very courageous. So he acts like James Bond. Although he's like Mickey Mouse, for instance, in reality. And she acts like Cinderella. This is a world of fantasy. This is Disney World. This is not reality. And then when the life begins seriously, once a small problem arises, they become unhappy. And he starts telling her, you changed. Your akhlaq, your manners changed. You were so humble. You were so forgiving. You were always smiling. Why you are sick today? You didn't get sick when we were engaged. Yes, of course, because you saw her at her best. And this is an illusion. So wake up, brothers and sisters. Life is real. And life is mutual commitment and responsibility. And one more thing before I conclude. And I will continue on this series, inshallah. Tomorrow and after tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to mention the five important qualities that you have to find them in your partner. If you don't find them, don't get married. One more thing, brothers and sisters, and this is only for my sisters. Sisters, when you intend to get married, you have to involve your parents, both. Don't keep it secret. Some of you, you start having a relationship, and then while you are sitting at home, having food with your parents, and you are text messaging the guy, they realize that you have someone. This is bad. This would not work for you. This works against you. Your parents are the closest people on earth to you and your heart and to your interest. If there is among 6 billion people today on earth, 2 people who are seeking your happiness, those 2 are your parents. Don't be misled. Don't be misled by the new man in your life. You have to have your parents' consent, approval, and a blessing for the marriage. If your father, who is a wise person, tells you no, this man does not qualify for you. Listen to your father. Consult. Before marriage, you have to consult your parents. Respect the opinion of your parents. Unless your parents are wicked. And I don't think your parents are wicked people. If you suspect that your parents don't like you, in this case, go to the other elders in the community. Go to other friends who have more experience in this field. But don't do it by yourself. I have seen daughters who thought that since they graduated from the best school, since they have the best job and income, since they are so open-minded and wise and brave, they went ahead and they chose a partner and they kept it secret from their parents. 6 months later, they went home, back home empty-handed. Don't lose the support of your parents. This is my advice to you, brothers and sisters. Sisters in particular, you need the support, the guidance of your parents, both. You need their consent and you need your happiness. In Islam, marriage is not between 2 individuals. In Islam, the marriage is between 2 families. Your father and your mother has to be the first people to enjoy your marriage. At the conclusion, we have to go to Karbala. Because of Karbala, we are here. Because of Imam Hussein, we are sitting here. Because of the day of Ashura and the lessons of that day, we are sitting here on the floor. We are packing this room to commemorate the heroic event of Karbala and all the implications of Karbala. And many of them are social implications. And tonight I'd like to speak about an honorable lady. Very honorable lady. Her name is Fatima al-Kilabiyya, Umm al-Baneen, alayha salam. Very honorable lady. A lady who did a lot of sacrifice in her life. A lady that when Imam Ali married with her after the death of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, the first thing she turned to him on the night of wedding, she said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have a sincere request in my heart. Can I say it to you? Would you give me permission? He said, sure, say it. He said, My name is Fatima. And the mother of Hassan and Hussein was Fatima. And therefore, I have one request. I don't want you to call me with my first name. Because I don't want those two kids to remember their mother. Amir al-Mu'mineen changed her name. He chose this beautiful nickname, Umm al-Baneen. And indeed, she became the mother of the sons. Honorable sons, brave sons. All four sons, they gave their life on the day of Ashura. They gave their life defending Islam, defending the truth, and defending Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So this lady was a mother. And it is the inspiration of every mother to see the wedding night of her children. Ask any mother today. Ask her, when you raise a child, what are you waiting for? What do you want to see in this child's life? Some could tell you graduation, but maybe all would tell you his marriage and his wedding. And hence, Umm al-Baneen was waiting for that moment to see her kids, her four beautiful youth get married. One of them was married, Al-Abbas alayhi salam. But according to the history, the other three were not married. Probably they were not married. So she was waiting for them for that grand night of happiness. But what happened instead? Instead of that, this lady was in the city of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. When the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the caravan of women and children, started to get close to the territory of Al-Madinah. After the day of Ashura, this caravan went to Kufa, from Kufa to Damascus, and finally terminated in Medina. On the way to Al-Madinah, لَمَّا لَاحَتْ جُدْرَانُ الْمَدِينَةِ When the walls and the homes of Medina loomed and appeared from far, السيدة زينب عليها السلام وقع بصرها على جدران المدينة هاجت أحزانها. When Zainab عليها السلام, other women and children, when they glanced at the walls of Medina, their sadness re-emerged again and raged. And the tears started flowing down again. And they remembered the old glory of Medina. Zainab alayhi salam came slowly, slowly. She remembered the history of Medina. She remembered her honor and her dignity. She lived in this city for 50 years during the time of her grandfather Rasulullah and the time of her father Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra. And again during the time of Imam Hussein. And she remembered the moment when she left Medina. Few months ago, leaving this city with her brother Hussein alayhi salam and other siblings and brothers, and also her brothers from Umm al-Baneen. When she left the city, Hajat Ahzanuha, she looked at the walls of Medina, she looked at the dome and the minaret of the grand mosque of the Prophet in Medina. مدينة جدنا لا تقبلينا مدينة جدنا لا تقبلينا فبالأحزان والحسرات جينا خرجنا من كبل أهلين جمعين رجعنا لا رجال ولا بنين بيارك أخويا من يشيل وحمل بقلبي من يزيل يا أبا حمل بقلبي من يزيل لا تشوفني وأنا ذليل. Arrived the caravan. Where does she go, this honorable lady Zainab عليه السلام? Where she takes refuge first? The first thing she did, she rushed into the mosque of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. She took the doorknob and she knocked at the door. أخذت بعضادة باب المسجد قالت يا جداح يا رسول الله إني ناعية إليك الحسين. Oh my dear, my grandfather, يا رسول الله, I know how much you loved Hussein. I know how much you cherished him. I know how much you carried him and kissed him. Ya Rasulullah, I am announcing the martyrdom of your grandson Hussein. I am announcing that he's missing. And today we are coming back to this city alone. Only women and children are returning from the desert of Karbala. And then she made a U-turn, immediate U-turn. In عطفت إلى دار أبي عبد الله. دخلت إلى الدار وجدت وحشة الدار عليها كبيرة. She came, she went back into the house of Imam Hussein. She made it into the house. The house was so gloomy, was so desolate and dark, deserted. No inhabitants in that house. At one time this house was flourishing and blossoming with Imam Hussein, with his voice, with his light, with his presence. Zainab sometimes looks at the musalla, the prayers place of Imam Hussein, sometimes at his bed. نظرت إلى مصلاه إلى مكانه يا دار ناغيني وناغيت جانت بدور ومزهر عليك. جانت بدور ومزهر عليك والساغرة بالبين ناعيك. Then she asked the servants and the maids to shut the door. She asked them not to allow anyone to enter the house because she wants to stay alone. She wants to lament Imam Hussein عليه السلام by herself. طافت بأرجاء تلك الدار إن كانت ريدني أنسى أبطل النوح ونيني اخذ ذكراك من قلبي واخذ صورتك من عيني أيام الجنت وياك ناغيك وتناغيني. She was circling inside the house. Suddenly they hear someone knocking at the door. She asked the maid to go and open the door. The maid went, opened the door. She came back. سيدتي إن على الباب امرأة متشحة بالسواد تقول أنا أم البنين. قالت افتحي لها الباب إنها شريكتنا بالعزاء. My lady, there is a lady, an honorable mother. She's with the black, all the black. She's covered with the black at the door. Asking for permission, she introduced herself as Ummul Baneen. Zainab said, yes, indeed. She is part of us. She is our partner in this aza, in this lamentation. She lost four of her children in this battle. Allow her to come inside. When Ummul Baneen came inside the house, as soon as she looked at the face of Zainab, صاحت وولداه وحسينه. What was the answer from Zainab عليه السلام? العقيلة أجابتها وأخاه وعباسه. إحنا يم البنين الله يجبريك ترى بابو فاضل واخوته صار كسرك لنوح وياك والله طول دهريك وقل للعين سحي لا تفترين رحم الضايعات بعدك ضعنا. سيدنا سمحت السيد الصدر فضلوا سيدنا فضلوا سيدنا نستفيد من محضركم المبارك. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله إلهنا بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله. اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفر والمنافقين. أيد وسدد علماءنا العاملين وانصر المجاهدين في سبيلك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا فنتبعه والباطل باطلا فنجتنب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان والتقوى والعمل الصالح وولاية أمير المؤمنين. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة الحسين وفي الآخرة شفاعة الحسين. اللهم فرج عن أهلنا المحرومين والمظلومين في العراق يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم فرج عن المظلومين والمحرومين في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. أنزل نصرك وتأييدك وتسديدك لأحبتنا إخواننا وأخواتنا في العراق وفي كل مكان، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء نهدي للجميع ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
يا حسين وين صابه؟ يا حسين وين صابه؟ شباب شباب صوتكم شباب. يا حسين وين صابه؟ ايه زينب وين وتنادي؟ ام البنين